Okay, everybody blames God. Even though Jesus said, be still, and it was still. It's not his fault if we're not walking in the authority that he died 2,000 years ago to give us. Amen? Anyway. And that authority's real. I mean, you can ask our team, moving to the Philippines. Just one trip, we had two Category 5 typhoons, which is like a Hurricane 5 level, coming directly to us. And you have nowhere to hide on these little islands. It don't just hit a part of, and their houses are, no, they just die. They don't even try to, they don't clog up the interstate or anything because they don't have one getting out of there. I mean, you just, whatever happens, they just act like, I'm like, I don't think I want to die. Not only does the Lord send us to where there's a typhoon, he sends us knowing there's a typhoon. Everybody who can leave is leaving or hiding, and we're going, driving to it, middle of the night when it's supposed to hit. You think this person's crazy? No, the Lord said to go, and he told me what to do to stop the typhoon, and he gave me little indicators all along the way. Is it fun? No. Because Paul even says, with fear and trembling. So let's be real. Pretended faith might seem fun till you get whopped. Amen? But the real deal is real human flesh, looking at real situations, recognizing that if God doesn't come through, and if I'm not hearing him, this is going to be bad. Amen? I mean, that's when you know you're not hyper-spiritual or have a religious spirit. Religious spirit is a counterfeit. It takes over your whole personality, and you're just not even, you're just really demonized. But the real deal, you got a real brain. And your real brain begins to say, this is a real storm. Are we really supposed to drive right into the storm and stop it? And it's not a thing to take lightly. I'll just be honest. To walk in real authority, you need to take it seriously. And there was prayer. We prayed with the person driving, and we all decided we're going for it. Got there, and staying with trees are like this. It was going to be a small, it had already gone down to category, I think, maybe even a one by the time we got there. We kept praying, things were happening. Category 1 can still be pretty bad because I always get ocean front usually because I like to look at the ocean if I'm in the Philippines. And we get out and the winds, and the Lord said, go stand on the beach and tell it to go. So we went out, got all wet, told it to go, and it went. Had an awesome meeting. They weren't even going to have the meeting. They called it off because that thing was supposed to hit. We knew it wasn't going to hit. This church, the Lord showed us to pray for it before we even knew it was coming. Everybody prayed for it. We saw it, knew the name of everything. We were like, woohoo, party, great time. Get in the car. I have to go over. The typhoon had hit some other place, had taken out some roads and stuff. Anyway, I won't get the whole thing, but the Lord said, now go to this place. So we're all, woohoo, yay. Get in the car to head to the next place, which was going really to an isolated area, to find out a Typhoon 5 was hitting there. This isn't even typhoon season. This typhoon's name, they named it after the devil. That was encouraging. And it was ticked off at us. And Rommel, the pastor at where we just left and told the typhoon to leave, he was laughing, going, oh, the devil's hot at you. He's going to bring another one. And I'm like, shut up. And we were very seriously seeking the Lord because number one, God didn't tell me ahead of time what he was going to do with this next place. This area we were going to, the way it's set up, it's a mountain. It's really cool. We're going again in September. Not everybody wants to sign up to go, right? We're going again in September, which shows you it's still there. Amen. And the last time they had a Category 5 hit, which wasn't that long ago, the water comes in, the storm comes in, and it comes right back down the mountain. Everybody but 3 people were wiped out. It's a small place because nobody really wants to live there. But yeah, it's a surfing community. Very cool place. Very nice if you love beach and stuff. And so we're driving on this unknown road, and it was a horrible road. And we went the wrong way by accident, but by God's accident. So thank God, because the bus, they got to the road the way we're supposed to go, and they're actually, the road was gone, and they had to put down bamboo and drive a bus over it and made all the people get back in the bus. Nilo was there and Debbie was there, made them get back in the bus. I'm thinking, let the bus go over first, and then we'll walk over once the bus makes it. But I'm thinking, thank God we didn't go that way, because I don't think I'd have faith to pretend that our van was going to jump over this big, you know, place without a road, over a big, you know, canyon kind of thing. So I was very glad to find out we went the wrong way. But the wrong way got us there, thank God. We didn't have, they don't have road signs and all. It's just so different. It's just hilariously different. So again, now there's a Typhoon 5 coming. Oh, I'm just telling you what real authority looks like. We're like, oh, God. And I turned on Heidi Baker on the way. And she's talking about when this thing came and flooded the mall and everybody, and they lost everything. I said, turn her off. I love her, but I don't want to believe that this is going to come and we're going to have to deal with it. I'm not saying I know. I just don't want to just turn her off. I love her, but you should hear me. And it was flooded and we lost everything and we had it. Like, ah! Anyway, middle of the night, God wouldn't tell me what. We went and did the meeting. And the Lord, we wanted to have a prayer meeting to stop the Typhoon 5 that was on its way. It was supposed to hit somewhere about 2 in the morning. This was probably about 10 at night, 9 or 10 at night. And it's raining and all. And the Lord says, I don't want a prayer meeting. I want you to have Karen teach them to do the new song. Okay. Karen, we're not doing a prayer meeting. Teach these people to do the new song. And she did. I can't wait to go back and hear them now. It's been a couple of years. And their young worship team is teenagers. They were doing the new song with Karen. They never heard of it before. They were all flowing in the spirit. Healing came. People got slayed all over the floor. We had the party of a party. It was just a Holy Ghost party. We had a great time. People got healed. It was awesome. And then we get in the car and it's raining. And the winds are getting worse. And everything's like, we go up to the hotel. Does anybody know it's a typhoon? Oh, the typhoon's still coming. Yeah, it's going to hit about 2 in the morning. I'm like, oh, come on the beach. Anyhow, I didn't sleep very well. I'll just be honest, because he didn't tell me yet. I didn't hear about this typhoon. I knew about the other typhoon. So finally, after I get praying, I'm freaking out. The Lord has me open a scripture somewhere in Old Testament. It says, there will only be water in the ditch. That was my scripture. I said, okay, God, there's only going to be water in the ditch. And it was pouring. I thought Beth's car was going to be floating away and the missionary's going to have to pay for that because I'm the one who asked her to drive and she didn't really want to drive. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to be stuck here. There won't be roads. If we live, we'll be stuck here for a very long time without help, God. And then the Lord gives me scripture, there'll only be water in the ditch. So all night you hear the winds and everything. You can't look out the windows the way they're made. They're like bamboo things over them and all this. Oh. Get up in the morning, open the door, and there's only water in the ditch. Oh, praise God. Well, Lord told me to turn it away. He had us all command it and turn it away. But you still, you know, I hope it was God. Water's in the ditch. Go to the information place. Oh, no, ma'am. They have no electricity or anything happening, but they're like, oh, no, the typhoon hasn't hit yet. Oh, man. But it really had turned. But they don't have communication like we do here, so they didn't know it had turned. It actually turned to hit Manila, and 13 people died, and I pray for them, but the whole place wasn't wiped out. By mid-afternoon, they all caught on. The typhoon has really turned. And we had an awesome party, and we just had an awesome time. God, we were all wearing rain boots and everything. It was hilarious. We were hilarious. Karen remembers. Edie went with us on that trip. And I don't know. I'm just saying there's a place in real authority where you turn back. I am so tired of prophets prophesying tornadoes and hurricanes. And then God wakes me up and says, would you please turn that away? And they've been turned away, amen. And they'll keep being turned away if we have ears to hear this loving, powerful, awesome God who's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to save us. He's trying to save our communities. He's trying to get a hold of our leaders' hearts. Amen? Yeah. God help us. Not that there won't be all these things. The Bible says there will be these things, right? But doesn't it say 1,000 can fall to one side, 10,000 to the next, but it won't come near you? So we've got to get into that place of understanding God and knowing God and not blaming God. We've got to get in that place where there's this real walking with him and trusting him, all right? So he wants a contrite and broken spirit. Now a broken spirit means you see what the enemy did using you. When you see what the enemy did using you, it breaks you. When you see what you did and how it's affected your children, how it's affected your spouse, how it's opened the door for the enemy to steal from you. Amen? When you really see how what you took in and how it's affected your parents and your church and people you care about, when you see what the enemy did using you, even after you're a Christian, when you really see that, it breaks you. And your pride falls. And your judgmental attitude falls. Because all of a sudden it's like, what a wretched person I am. How could you still love me, God? How could you still love me? How could you still love me? And then the contrite comes because true remorse comes. I don't believe there's really strong repentance and remorse until there comes that breaking. And let me say this, when God really brings that brokenness into your life and that contrite heart, would you lay down the way you used to fight things instead of picking that same mess back up and trying to make everything okay in your own strength? Amen? When we've been strategically targeted by the enemy to be a victim, there's two ways mainly to handle that, okay? And let me finish saying, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us love. Love for him, love for ourselves, love for others. First, love for our families, then love for, you know, people we know, and then love for people we don't even know. The love just grows and grows and grows. When we have faith instead of fear, then we have power. That's where I got to that. We have power. Power to stop the enemy. Power to live above what the enemy's up to. Amen? Power to... Now, God's not going to judge me if I'm in his will. I'm hidden in him. Amen? And let me say, judgment isn't evil, because if it does come from God and it's judgment, it's to turn the hearts of the people back to God, which is an awesome thing, because if they don't turn their hearts back to God, they could end up, you know, in hell or losing everything. Amen. So even God's judgment is merciful and is not evil. Satan's evil. Don't confuse judgment's not evil. Judgment is a just move of a powerful, loving God to bring people back to himself. Yes. Judgment is always sent and released to cause repentance. Evil is sent to cause destruction and bitterness towards God in the hearts of people. Amen? Okay, so you don't even have to get caught up, is this judgment or not? Because you're going to be protected. If you really know who you are in Christ, you're going to be protected. And he'll show you and he'll teach you, and you will cry out with his same cry for people to repent. Amen? Okay. So God, faith, brings power. He's given us love. Power, real power, first power in our own lives, real power in our own lives to overcome. Power in our lives to overcome sickness, power in our lives to overcome poverty, power in our lives to overcome condemnation, power in our lives to overcome the enemy. Amen? And then he gives us power and authority to minister to others so they can overcome. Amen? And then he gives us power and authority even in governmental places and against storms and this kind of thing. So as our faith grows, as our faith, which comes by relationship with God and knowing God and hearing God and walking with God and getting free, as that grows, our capability of loving grows. And as our capability of loving grows, our sphere of influence or authority grows. Amen? And then he's also added in there, I've given you a sound mind. So fear produces hate, self-hate, hopelessness. I can't do anything about it. Poor me. I'm a victim. Oh, somebody take care of me. Entitlement. All this kind of mess is under that place. Amen? If we hang on to the victim mentality, we hang on to the fear. If we get our identity in the victim mentality, we hang on to the fear, because you can't have the victim mentality with faith. And if we hang on to the victim mentality and we hang on to the fear, we have to hang on to bitterness and hate and self-hate and blaming. Amen? And all that's one of the most powerful scriptures to kind of understand how things work when it comes to being set free, okay? So fear produces all this hate. The more hate, the greater amount of hopelessness. Okay, the greater amount of hopelessness. The more hate, the more fear, the more hate, the more hopelessness, the more you lose your sound mind. The more you take on pretended faith and you hear a voice and think it's God and it's not God and you get deceived. Amen? The more fear that you're calling faith, that you won't deal with the hate issues and you won't deal with the hopelessness issues, then you get unsound mind and you open up to, maybe you can hold it off till you're old, but you get Alzheimer's or dementia, amen? Or you are like two different people and you flip out here and there. Let me tell you this. If you're on meds, and I'm not against meds, I want you to see meds give you time. It's science way of giving you time to have more time to get free. But when you come in agreement with the medical profession that this is now something you're going to need the rest of your life, you just buy into a lie. Okay? If they say you need meds, then you better take meds. Until, with the understanding, I'm going to deal with the fear issues. And I'm going to deal with the fear issues by increasing my faith. I'm going to deal with the fear issues by increasing in my relationship with God and understanding His Word. I'm going to let Him heal the broken places. I'm going to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit to sanctify me and make me holy and destroy the power of fear in my life. And I'm going to quit pretending I don't have it. Sometimes you hide fear under false strength, but it's still there. Nobody gonna mess with me. I was the more false strength kind of fear person. Amen? And they're not a victim in their thinking, but they've got false power. So fear, which produces hate, can produce false power, which is your own strength, which can lead to physical sickness such as heart attacks and what you kind of see with Samson thinking he could handle it. Amen? And it leads to bad relationships and it causes the anger and the rage and the control. Control. I can control everybody and everything in my family and I'll do it in the name of Jesus and it'll look like love. And you got this going on in church ministry and all too. Amen? Okay. Just look, I'm trying to break this down as the Lord showed me so you can kind of see where you're at, because everybody's at different places. Amen? But when you can, the Bible says to know the schemes of the enemy. The Bible says that. I didn't make it up. The Bible says to know the schemes of the enemy. Not to glorify them, but to know them. And why? So you can bring truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you won't even deal with the lie, how can you bring truth to it? Everything is not an altar call. For believers, very few things should be an altar call. Because we have truth himself living in us. We have the anointing of God living in us. Okay, amen? Okay, so fear produces all kinds of hate. The more hate it produces, the more false power or hopelessness. Or you can have some in some areas and some in the others. Amen? Like, sometimes it's just your perception of everything is messed up. Amen? Because Satan targeted you. So fear. Now think how much sense this makes. The bigger the fear, the more areas of the fear, the bigger the areas of hate and self-hate, the bigger the areas of false strength, which we have teaching on, I probably won't get into today, but I really encourage you to get it's powerful. False strength. See, meekness, Jesus was meek, right? But he wasn't weak. True strength for Jesus was letting people beat him and nail him to a tree. That took all the Father's strength that could come from heaven. because he was able. He was not a victim. He could have stopped it. The kind of strength to not stop it. Come on. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I pray I never have to go through a test to find out how meek I really am. I mean, what a test of obedience. Christ, and he suffered. He chose to suffer to set us free from being forced to suffer. He chose to take the place of a victim to set us free from being a victim. Amen? He chose to be humiliated and shamed to set us free from humiliation and shame. The greatest difference, one of the greatest difference in Christ and what he suffered was that he did not have to suffer that at all. He chose to. That's a very powerful truth. He chose to do it not to win our salvation. He could have just died for that. He chose to die that way, suffer that way on purpose to set you free from where you've been shamed and humiliated and bullied and felt like a victim. He died that way so you could live awesome. He had to die so we could live eternally. Amen? He had to die and pay the punishment and taste the grave and the hell, the Bible says. He had to do that to satisfy his holiness and to win back and to take out of the hands of the enemy what Adam gave to the enemy when he gave mankind to the rulership of the enemy, because Adam had that. Amen. And Jesus had to come Jesus had to come through a woman as the second Adam so that he could actually undo what Adam had done. Amen. Isn't that cool? But that gets into deep stuff. But anyway, just so you know, there's a purpose. God is so purposeful. That's why if you would really get in the Word and study every word, you won't need extra everythings. Because it goes so deep. It just never ends. That he unveils your eyes. Oh, more, more. Oh, my gosh. I just wish it'd be so nice if we'd all preach it. Because it's so powerful.